I'd like to say, first of all, tonight that I'm not here just to preach to you. I'm here to join with you in the worship of Almighty God. I'm here to share with you in the ministry of the church, which is to help people who are seeking to know the gospel and how to understand it and believe it. And by exercising the ministry of the evangelist which God has given me, to seek to help people. And I would ask the prayers of Christians tonight that as I seek to speak, so God would bless his word to any who are seeking and perhaps questioning and wanting to know the way. I say that because I've been rather exalted up here and you are down there. So I want to be one with you. And I want to speak to you tonight, not as one speaking from a pulpit, but as if I was sitting beside you, opening out the Bible and seeking to help you to understand the way. And I would seek to do that by directing our thoughts to that word in verse 34 of Mark 12 that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the scribe who came to him with a question. What he said to him was, "You're not far from the kingdom of God. You are not far from the kingdom of God." It's very interesting to notice how the Lord Jesus Christ answered people's questions. He always answered the questions that people brought to him. He always gave the right answer. And he treated people as individuals. There was no kind of mass production belt to face. Everyone was accepted as the person they were, and the Lord Jesus Christ would speak a particular word to each one or to each group. And so it is with this scribe who comes to him and puts to him the question, which is the greatest commandment? And he answers that question, as has been read to us tonight. And it's quite proper to bring our questions, because there are answers to the questions. I think some of us ought to be asking more questions than we are, that we might understand better what the Bible has to say to us. Some questions we ought not to ask. I was reading in a book by an evangelist on questions I'd been asked, and he dealt with the question, "Where did Cain get his wife from?" I looked at that one first. He said, "This is the kind of question that is put around in public houses and other institutions of learning, but the people who ask this question," he said, "do not really want an answer. They don't believe there is an answer, and so it's not really worth trying to answer the question, although he does give an answer to it. But here is a man who brings a genuine question. Hear his question tonight. One of the scribes came and having heard him reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered that question. "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" The man was satisfied with the answer. "You have spoken well," he said, and then went to take his leave. And at that point, Jesus added something else, because the man went on to say that this great commandment is greater than all sacrifices and rituals in the temple or the synagogue. And Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." Now, why did Jesus say that to this man? Why do you think he put that little rider onto what he had said? Well, I want to suggest to you, first of all, that it was to him a warning. You are not far from the kingdom of God. If we turn it round, you're very close to the kingdom of God. For being very close, very near, is not in. And it's as if he's saying to this man, "Well, you understand now what the nature of the kingdom of God is, but that does not mean that you're in that kingdom. I want to speak this word of warning to you. And there are people who know things about the Bible. And they know what the commandments of God are. They know what the way of salvation is. They know something about the kingdom of God. But that does not mean that they're in the kingdom of God. They may be outside of it. Probably are. So Jesus gives to this man a warning. You know, it's possible, as we sometimes say, to be so near and yet so far. Remember seeing a man standing beside a bus. And he obviously intended to get onto the bus. But a friend of his was coming down the road. He'd left it a bit late. So he's waiting for him to come and join him to get on the bus. And as he stood there waiting for his friend to come, the doors of the bus closed, the engine started up, and the bus went away. He was so near, only a step, and he would be on it. But when the bus moved off, he might have been 100 miles away. So near, and yet so far. And I want to say quite plainly tonight that there are people, and many of them are religious people, as this man was a religious person, even an officer in the church, a deacon or an elder, even a minister in the church, who know things about the scriptures, some who know the way of salvation. They're so near to the kingdom of God, and yet, because they're not in it, they're so far away. So Jesus gives to this man a warning. You can be so near being a Christian, and yet so far away from God. Now there are people who need this warning. One of the great evangelists of the 19th century and part of the 20th, R.A. Torrey, tells of how a man came to him one night after a meeting, and he said, "I don't feel that it's right for you to preach that we're sinners. I don't think," he said, "that I'm a sinner. I do my best in life. I do my best to please God. And I do not believe that I'm a sinner." And Mr. Torrey said, "Well, you know the commandments." He said, "Yes, I know the commandments." "Do you keep them?" he said. "Well, I try to," said the man. "Well," he said, "you know which is the greatest commandment?" The man said, "No, well, I don't." So he turned to this passage. And he read this section that we've been looking at just now. He said, "Look, here is the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment." "You see that?" he said. "Yes," said the man. Well, he said, "Do you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength?" Oh, and he said, "No, sir, I can't say that I can do that." "Well," said the evangelist, he said, "this, you see, is God's first greatest commandment. And if you're not keeping the greatest commandment, you're committing the greatest sin. You're committing the greatest sin." For people who need this warning, because they don't feel there's any sense of guilt upon them. They've no conception that they have done things, said things which are wrong, which are an offense to Almighty God, to His holiness and His purity, and they bring down His judgment upon them. Now we need to take note of this, but it's a gentle warning. It's a gentle warning. It's to make him think. There were times when the warnings that Jesus gave were much stronger. And when you come to those parts where he was being rejected by the Pharisees and the leaders of the nation, you find that he's much more strong in his warnings. You remember on one occasion he said to them, "You will see Abraham, Isaac and Jacob sitting down in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." You remember too in Matthew 7, where he said, "There would be many who will come to me in that great day of judgment and say, 'Lord, Lord, you have taught us in our streets. We have prophesied in your name. We have done many marvelous things in your name. Open to us and let us in.'" And he said that, "I will say to them, 'I do not know you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity.'" People who knew what Jesus taught, and even did things in his name. Even preached in pulpits, in churches. And he was saying to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Religious people. Oh, there's a need for this warning. It's possible to be in the church. It's possible to be able to know what the doctrines of the Bible are. It's possible to be so near to being a Christian and sometimes felt the power of God come down and speak to your heart. You've never responded to it, so near, and yet so far. This man needed this warning. Not enough for him to know what the kingdom of God is like, and that this is far better than all religious ceremonies. He needed to do something about it. This man was not concerned to know, could he possibly be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's not concerned to commit his life to this teacher who knows the scriptures so well. It's just an academic point with him. He just wants an answer to a theological question. And when he gets the answer, he says, well, thank you for that. Yes, you've spoken well. And off he goes, just to carry on with his usual religious ritual and program. This man has no hard conviction about this at all. He's in great danger. He's very close because he knows about it. But he's very far away because he's not in the kingdom. It's a word of warning. But secondly, I would suggest to you tonight that this may well have been a word of encouragement. Look, my friend, the Lord Jesus says, you know what the kingdom of God is. You know that the kingdom of God and the great commandment concerning it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now you know this. But you need to go further. It needs to be more than something you know in your mind. It's something you need to experience in your heart. He was a man who knew. He knew what the kingdom of God was. But he had not taken any step towards it. I sometimes wish we could sing some of the old gospel hymns. You know, there's an old gospel hymn which says, only a step to Jesus. Why not take it now? Only a step, only a step. Come with your sin confessing. You shall receive a blessing. Only a step to Jesus. Why not take it now? And you know, I believe there are people sitting in churches tonight who are there. They've come so far in their religious quest and progress. They've come to know that there is a salvation of God. The Lord Jesus Christ has obtained it. And it's a way of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They know this. But they've not stepped in faith into God's salvation kingdom. Only a step. Only a step. Why not take it now? That's what I think Jesus is doing for this man. He's trying to help him to go further than mere head knowledge about spiritual things to heart experience of them. God does encourage when people are really seeking to know him. Methodists will know the account John Wesley gives of his taking a step of faith. You know that he had been seeking to be right with God for a long time. He'd been trying by self-denial and works of righteousness, visiting prisons, helping the poor, fasting two or three times a week, in order to somehow impress God sufficiently to be accepted by him. But he was shown in a wonderful way that this was not the way to know God and his salvation. And he came to hear that it is a way of faith in Christ, trusting not in your own works of righteousness, which you have done, but faith in Jesus Christ. And he struggled to find this faith. He was seeking it. And he said on the great day of his conversion that he was seeking to know this way of faith, and seeking very coldly at times, he said, not really seriously concerned, but feeling I ought to know it. And this particular morning, as he went out, 5 o'clock in the morning, he opened up his New Testament. And he read there that God has given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we may be made partakers of the divine nature. He felt a little encouraged. Then, just as he was going to go out, he took his testament again, and he opened it up and read, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." He said he found that God was encouraging him with this text. That afternoon he went to St. Paul's Cathedral, and the anthem sang the choir, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee." That spoke to him of how he was feeling at that time. And it was that evening that he went along to the meeting where someone was reading from the Epistle to the Romans. And as he listened, while he was expounding the Epistle to the Romans, he was explaining that the way of salvation is through faith in Christ. And I felt my heart strangely warm. I felt that I did trust Christ alone for my salvation, and an assurance was given to me that for my salvation, an assurance was given to me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. Not knowing just how he had taken the step from trusting in his own religious works and church attendances and ministrations as an Anglican priest, trusting Christ and Christ alone for his salvation. He said, after this, I began to pray earnestly for those who persecuted me and despitefully used me. Now, that's an evidence that this was really the grace of God, because he now began to love God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and his neighbor as himself. And he found himself fulfilling God's law, not through his own self-efforts, but through trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. So God does encourage people when they're really seeking and have their questions and their hearts are trying to reach out to know what salvation really is. And you see, the Lord is trying to encourage this man to move from mere head knowledge to heart knowledge and experience. And there are people, you see, who have so much in their heads. In the Pilgrim's Progress, worth reading the Pilgrim's Progress, there's a man by the name of Talkative. And as Christian and Faithful are walking along the road to the Celestial City, they fall in with Mr. Talkative. And Mr. Talkative said that if he was allowed to accompany them on the journey, he would talk to them about anything. He would talk about material things or spiritual things. He would talk about things past or things present. He would talk about things in the universe and things in this world. And he would talk about anything, so apparently he could. So Faithful, Christian's companion, decided to fall in with him and converse with him. The man began to speak. He could speak about prayer. He could speak about repentance. He could speak about faith. He could speak about the struggles of the Christian against sin. He could talk about all these things. And Faithful began to wonder whether all these things he knew had any effect upon his experience. And so he questioned him, "Now, are these things you speak about the experience of your soul?" And with that, Talkative made off. He had no time for experience. It was all understanding in the head. Now you see, there are many people like this. They can talk, and they do talk in committees, in church conventions, about the church's work in the world, the way of peace and justice, so many other things. But their heart's experience is some difference. And God is trying to bring us from merely knowing in our heads. You see, we can sing these hymns. And we can learn them. We can learn them off by heart. Some of them we can sing without the book, but not have the experience of it in the heart. But God is trying to encourage us, and I want to try to encourage people. If there's anyone tonight and you have questions and you're seeking to know the way, peace with God, and genuine Christianity, and to know that you are saved by God's grace, I want to try to encourage you to step out of mere head knowledge into heart experience. Now someone might say, but that seemed to me to be a very big step. Well, let me answer that in two ways. All of us at some time in our lives have come face to face with a step to take which has seemed very big. It might be the choice of a university for a young person. It might be a career. It might be the offer of a promotion. It might be an offer of marriage. And we've got to make a choice. And we see that if we make this choice, it will open out for us new possibilities. There are advantages in it. And so we take the step. We're not quite sure how it will work out, but we take the step. And we find, more often than not, that it is for our advantage. Things do work out for the better. And we look back and say, well, I'm so glad that I took that step at that time. Yes, we come to places where we're faced with a choice. We have to take a step, and we take it, and we're thankful that we did. Do you ask anybody who's taken a step of repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, has it worked out for your advantage? And they will say, yes. Yes, it has. Because it opened for me the door into the fulfillment of all the promises of God. For many great, exceeding precious promises, that we might be made partakers of the divine nature. They say, well, I've come to find what it means that God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My life is enriched beyond measure. I now walk with God. I have peace and joy in believing. I rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And they trace it back to that time, when realizing they knew things in their heads but did not know them in their hearts, and they took the step that was needed. The second way I would deal with this is this way. This step that we are asked to take of faith in Christ and submission to Him as Savior and Lord is nothing compared to the step which He took when He left the heights of heavenly glory and came down to this sin-riddled world to live a life of obedience to God, misunderstood by men, despised and rejected of men, man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. What a great step He took when He stepped down from heavenly glory to the depths of earth. And as He lived His life in this world and went to the cross and laid down His life at Calvary and took our sins into Himself in His body on the tree, that we might be reconciled to God, that He might open the life gate that all may go in. What a great step that was. And as He went from the cross to the tomb, and then from the tomb to that amazing resurrection to newness of life by the power of God. What a tremendous step that was. When He took into Himself our sins. The Isaiah prophecy 53 of Isaiah tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. I'd like to make it as simple as I can. One of the ways that we seek to show this to people is to put it like this. Here am I, with the weight of the guilt of my sin upon my soul. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, spotless and pure, perfect, never sinned. And He goes to the cross. And at the cross, God has laid on Him my iniquity, all the sins I ever committed, laid on Jesus, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And we can say to people who are anxious whether their sins are really forgiven, whether their guilt is really removed, in the mercy of God, that if you're trusting that Christ bore your sins in his body on the tree, they are transferred to him. And if they're transferred to him, do you have them? Do you have them? Well, no, I do not have them. If Christ has taken them, I have them no more. And that is a tremendous step that our Lord Jesus Christ took. And he was willing to take it. Willing to take it. Left his Father's throne above. Stepped down into this world. Emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless grace. Amazing love. How can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Tremendous step. And if the Lord Jesus Christ was prepared to take that gigantic step, then surely we should follow him and take the step that God requires that we take and submit ourselves to Christ and repent of the sins we've committed and trust that he died to take them from us that we might be free, forgiven, reconciled to God, at peace with him, his wrath no longer upon us. And that we should be sure, as Wesley was sure, that he had eternal life and was on the way to heavenly glory. It seems a big step, but it's not nearly as big a step as the Saviour took when he came to take our sins away. Well, there's an obvious question, and I'm bound to ask this question if I am to please God tonight. Every one of us ought to ask ourselves, have I taken the step? Here's a religious man. He's in worship every Sabbath. And he's learned the law. He knows the law. He teaches the law. But Jesus said to him, you're not far from the kingdom of God, but you're not in it. And the question I want to put you tonight, my friend, and I would say, my friend tonight, I'm not just a remote person not interested in you. Have you taken the step? Or are you like this man, so near, and yet so far? Have you taken the step? May I try to encourage you tonight? I was on holiday once, down in Cornwall, and I was sitting there with my wife on the end of the beach, on a concrete, sort of piece of concrete there. Away to the right, there was a hill, a sandy hill, and I'd been on top of this hill. There were two ways to it. One was round the other side, and one was from this side. And to get to the top from this side, there was a sandy path, and I'd been on top of this hill, and a glorious view out to sea. I said to my wife, I think I'll climb the hill and just have a look at the view again. Don't be long, she said. So I set off, and I started to go up this sandy track. When I got about two-thirds of the way along, I found that the track had sort of fallen away. There was a big gap in it. And it was quite high from the rocks below. And I was faced with a question. Dare I risk taking the step across? Well, I knew that I could turn back. I knew, too, that if I could take the step across, I'd get to the top and be able to enjoy the scenic view. And I trembled there, uncertain what to do. As I looked, I could see two things. One, I could see that there were many footmarks in the sand on the other side. Other people had come this way, and many had gone across. I saw, too, that there was a tuft of grass just above my hand. And I thought, well, if I can hold on to that, I can take that step and get across. So I tried it. Got hold of this bunch of grass, strong seaside grass, and I stretched my foot out to the other side, brought the other one across, and I'd made it. I was able to go on and up to the top and to enjoy the view. Now, I feared to do it. Is it wise to do it? Do I need to do it? Had I better not go back? But I was quite pleased when I decided I would try to do it. And I took the step and went on to the top. Now, we're like that sometimes. When God speaks to us from His Word, when He shows us, perhaps as tonight, we're not far from the kingdom of God, but we're not in it, and there's a step that we need to take, and we fear about this. Is it wise to do this? Is it necessary to do this? And we think, well, I could go back. But the wise thing to do is to trust the promises of God. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Reach out your hand and put it into the, as it were, into the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. Trust Him with your soul, and He will help you to take the step of faith and commitment to be not near salvation, near the kingdom of God, but in it, enjoying it and rejoicing in it. Have you taken the step that leads you to God's salvation? After preaching on this passage, not quite like this, but on this text, one Sunday morning, a lady in the congregation said to a Christian who had brought her to church, "I'm like that man." "What do you mean?" she said. "Well," she said, "I want to be a Christian, but I know I'm not a Christian yet." "Did you mean that you're only near to the kingdom of God? You're not in it?" She said, "Yes." So the lady was able to help her. And it wasn't long before she had come into a wonderful joy, wonderful sense of peace, and a great thankfulness to God that He had shown her the need to take the step of trust in Christ, and not to trust any longer in church going, good works, works of self-denial, gifts to charity, charitable work. All that is good, but it doesn't save. But to come simply to Christ and take that step of repenting of our sins, trusting in Him, and making that step from being near the kingdom to being in the kingdom of God. Does somebody need the warning? Does somebody need the encouragement? Well, either way, only a step to Jesus. Why not take it now? Come with your sin confessing. Trust Him, you shall receive a blessing. Only a step to Jesus. But we must take it. And I would say to you, if you're like this man tonight, so near but yet so far, why not take it now? Why not tell me, or tell the pastor, or someone from your own church who knows these things, "I'm like that man, but I need to take this step. Please help me. Be not only near God, but to be." I tell you this, if you take the step, God will take you up. He will keep His promises. You will enter into the blessings He's promised. But it's only a step to Jesus. Why not take it now?